Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Again, the words for our consideration are the words from the epistle lesson from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15, where Paul writes, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So far the text, and we pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father, and we pray that by them you would set us apart from this dying and sinful world for yourself. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, it seems like just yesterday, at least in my mind, I had taken the extended family down to the beach on Lake Michigan, Indiana Dunes, close to where I used to serve in Indiana. Across the lake, you could see shimmering in the distance the skyline of Chicago, with its tall Sears Tower. I guess it's Willis Tower now, but it used to be the Sears Tower. One of my grandchildren, I remember, called it the Sirius Tower. And I don't know why. The gulls were bobbing up and down on the deep blue water, and the sailboats and the sugar sand and the little waves were lapping on their little knees. And it was as close to a perfect day as I can recall. And yet I was reminded of a quotation that I had read from C.S. Lewis. He said that we're too easily pleased with life, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. As perfect as it was, that beauty and that joy was just a little tidbit of undeserved love from God. It was a little gift of God to me. We treasure those little gifts. We're thankful for them, but they are such a fleeting joy for us. We also have to remember the bigger picture, that we Christians have a serious joy, one that's far bigger than these moments of joy we have in life. We have a joy that what we look forward to is so much greater than all of this. We can't begin to experience it here with our little limited life on earth and our limited minds. Again, Lewis said, joy is the serious business of heaven. But while we are here, we Christians do have a serious joy that means putting on our serious faces and getting down to business, the business of Christ. And that serious joy means three things for us while we're here on earth. First of all, that Christians recognize the serious danger to souls. And secondly, that Christians recognize the serious sacrifice of God to save sinners. And finally, Christians want to be serious in belief and in practice. So as idyllic as that scene was on the beach that day, I couldn't help but think of the world that those little ones are growing up in. It's so far from idyllic. There's a serious danger to our souls here. Paul says, the days are very evil. Now, he's not just talking about the threats of terrorism or gang violence. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The most serious threat is spiritual. You can't see it. The danger is that we stray from the Word of God on foolish paths of self-destructive thinking and behavior. Terrorism might one day bring down the Sirius Tower. Maybe not. But the sin of Adam will do that for sure. Adam transgressed. Adam crossed the line with God, and thus death entered the world, the scriptures say. Sin is far more dangerous than the bombs of any terrorist. Gang warfare might result in the death of a child. The bullets that stray from hatred might find an innocent instead. Happens all the time in Chicago. But what can compare to the genocide that has been caused by sin? Think about what that means. The wages of sin is death, and that applies to every one of us in this room, everyone in this world. God's hatred for sin sends his condemning law right straight into our hearts, the hearts of all who've rebelled against him, the hearts of all who have ignored him and not listened to his word. And it doesn't miss, it hurts. We feel it. We know that we've wronged him. Christians, we recognize the serious danger to our souls, don't we? We see that apart from Christ, there's only God's condemnation and an eternal death of torment like that that was appointed for the fallen angels. We see the smoke. We know there's fire. We know because God himself warns us through his word. The problem is that we're playing around in the burning building ourselves. We're the foolish children of Adam playing with matches too. And we don't know any way out of ourselves. We see our sins. We feel the heat of God's wrath over sin. We know in our heart that we are poor and miserable, wretched creatures. Our hearts condemn us. Thanks be to God. There's one who's greater than our hearts. We Christians have a Savior from sin and everlasting condemnation. We have Jesus Christ, who was given for us. He died to save us. And he rose again on the third day to give us eternal life. We've been given undeserved love. That's what the word grace means. God has poured it out in such abundance on us that our sins are fully covered by it. That's why I'm able to say to you that your sins are forgiven, because Jesus paid for them, all of them, every last one of them. There's nothing missing. And we don't take this lightly. We recognize the serious sacrifice that God made for us, to save us. Every year in our church services, we think on these themes. For 6 weeks before Easter, we think about Jesus giving his body up for us on the cross, spilling his blood for us on the cross. It wasn't a light matter that in the grand council of the Holy Trinity, God the Father should ask his Son to give up heaven and to descend down into the meanness of this ruined creation and to take on himself the blame and the consequences for our sins and really die. This is truly serious stuff. Can any of us be so cruel and stupid that we would look upon those nails through Jesus' hands and say in our hearts, well, that doesn't matter. I can do what I want. Can any of us be so callous that we would think that the scourge and the splinters and the thorns didn't sting, didn't burrow into his flesh, didn't pierce to the bone? I pray not. Only the foolishness of unbelief could permit that kind of offense to the Father. Dear Christians, Jesus did make that serious sacrifice for you and for me and for all the world. He opened the only way to heaven. And Jesus was so emphatic about it when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Those who are not with the Father through Jesus are told to depart. "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Every fiber of our being ought to be pressed into service when we smell the smoke and see the flames. Christians want to be serious in belief and practice. We ought to make the most of every opportunity to tell people about the gift of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And that gift is eternal life for those who are perishing. If any one of us saw a child standing out here on the highway, I'd like to think that we'd all risk our lives to rescue that child and to save him. When we see children being educated with life-threatening teachings, I'd also like to think that we'd be willing to risk our reputations and dignity to save that child. When we see an adult whiling away the years, drunk on wine or absorbed in a career with such ambitions, consumed by petty bickering or prideful posturing or stapled to an easy chair in front of the altar of leisure in the living room, I'd like to think that we'd take that seriously and take the risk and share the reason for the hope that we have, for the serious joy that we have, so that that person will know the real joy of heaven too, and not just mud pies in the wallow of earthly life. This is serious stuff. More than Paul or any apostle, more than we can handle ourselves, and yet it's also joyous stuff. He has made death to mean eternal life for you. Think about what a serious change that is. He's made the serious work joyful because it's not accomplished by our striving. It's not overcome by our failures. It's accomplished by His will and His word at work in the world. That's where our strength is. It's in the Word of God. It's not in ourselves. And that's where our joy is found too, because there in the Word, we have God's promises. No one compelled you to come here today. Most of us are here because we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And we have the serious desire to be filled with the Spirit and to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and to make music in our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God our Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come here to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ and to build one another up in the faith. That's why we come. Our joy is not something that the world around us really can connect with. I know that most people look for their idea of joy and end up seeing only earthly suffering and all that accompanies it. The sinful flesh thinks that way. The sinful flesh desires to bring in worldly joy so that we can get masses of people into our congregation. But you're here to hear His word. You know the Father. You know His goodness and mercy because you've heard it in His word. You give thanks to Him when you fail and fall into sin. For you, the cross of Christ is serious joy. You have it. You have Jesus. He is yours. And you are His. His life is yours. And His life and your life belongs to Him. And He never fails. He will never fail us here at our Savior Lutheran Church either. He is faithful to His word. So let us get about the seriously joyful business of preaching and teaching his word. Remember, that's what he told all his disciples to do, to preach the good news to all creation. And so let us with joy, the joy of the gospel, go out every step of the way, go out in joy and be led forth in peace, as the scriptures say. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. That's the serious joy that you and I have to share the word of God with the people around us. May we always do that to the glory of our Lord and Savior. In his name, amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.